The reading this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 15 to the end, and the first verse of chapter 4. And this can be found on page 198 of your pew Bibles. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is your acceptable duty in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, or they may lose heart. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, not only while being watched and in order to please them, but wholeheartedly, fearing the Lord. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord and not for your masters, since you know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You serve the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong has been done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, for you know that you have a master in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Aaron.
Thank you. Thank you, Shirley, for reading. Before we dive into that passage, I'm going to pray for us. So let's pray together. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Lord God, as we hear you speak through your word, we pray that you would cause our hearts to respond and that we would want to offer our lives to you daily. Show us more clearly now how we can do that, we pray, so that we might live to your glory. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing this morning our series in Frontline Sundays, listening to what the Bible has to tell us about living our whole lives for Jesus Christ. A few weeks ago, we were looking at how Peter describes Christians as elect exiles. And we put our spots on the map, if you were here, to show all the different places where we live our lives on our different front lines, where we stand up and stand out for Jesus in different places. And if you haven't had a chance to do that yet, or if there's a front line you haven't thought of, do put an extra spot on the map at the back. We saw in our Together at Ten service God's blessing to Abraham, that he in turn would be a blessing to the whole world. And then last week we were looking at how God met with Jacob in the most ordinary of places, and how he meets us in ordinary places too. So let's begin in the most ordinary of places, a very unlikely place, the world of the internet. If you've had to fill out a form online, especially if money's involved, you may have seen something like this. Have just anyone seen this sort of test? Yeah, you know, to make sure that you're a real person and you're not some kind of automated robot piece of software who's there to commit fraud, it asks you to click on every square, in this case, every square that has a street sign in it. And because you can work that out and a robot can't, it tells that you're a real person. Well, just imagine for a moment that you had this set of photographs instead. In case you can't see it very clearly, we've got a school in the top left. There's a couple of people sitting on a bench in the middle, kneeling in a pew, cleaning the floors. a worship service or a rock concert somewhere in between in the middle, and someone sitting at a very nice computer. Just imagine that's the set of photographs you were faced with, and the question you were asked was this. Tick every picture in which someone is doing something in the name of the Lord. Tick every picture where worship is going on. I imagine that your eye might be drawn, first of all, perhaps to the people in the pews, in prayer. Or maybe the ones in the big worship service in the bottom, in the middle. Because in different ways you could see that they might be in church. And that's the first place we think of, perhaps, when we think of doing things in the name of the Lord. But in our reading this morning, God, through Paul, is asking us to see things differently, to have a wider sense of what it means and where we do things in the name of the Lord. I wonder, did you spot the repeated phrase in these verses? You might want to have a pew Bible open in front of you. We're on page 199 in the New Testament. And there's a phrase that comes up a couple of times. It comes up first of all in verse 17, and then in a slightly varied form in verse 23. And the phrase is, whatever you do. Whatever you do. There is a slight variation in this translation. In the original, it's almost identical. Whatever you do. Whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, work for the Lord. In other words, if you're a Christian, all of your life, all of your life is lived with Jesus Christ in view. It's lived with the desire to honour him. And that's the headline for this morning. Whatever you do, do it with Jesus Christ in view and with the desire to honour him. As you came in this morning, you were given one of these pencils. And you see it's got the words on it, whatever you do. Take that pencil with you this morning, and wherever you go this week, and whatever you do, whatever you write down, if it's at work, if it's a note for the milkman, if it's a message from the phone, whatever you do, do it with Jesus Christ in view and with the desire to honour him. I'm going to think in more detail about what that means for us practically, looking at the rest of the passage, because if I sit down now, you won't feel I've done my job properly. But first, just a small health warning. I'm sure as these verses were read out, you may have spotted some rather thorny issues. Oh, really? Let's be honest, there are some things here that are hard to hear. There are some things here that are hard to understand and hard to accept. And I want to be clear that I can't say everything I would like to about these verses this morning. And I'm not going to try. Come back another time. So we're going to skate over things, not because we have any reason to be ashamed or frightened of these verses, but because we need to do them justice. And because this morning, where I want our focus to be is that we take on board this call that whatever we do it with Jesus Christ in view and with the desire to honour him. But having said that, I do want to say if there's something here that really gets to you, then please come and see me afterwards. I'm very happy to talk about this. Come and see me. Come and see Andrew. Maybe there's something that you need to pray about with somebody afterwards. We'll have our prayer ministry team here. These are things, I know we're laughing slightly nervously, but there are serious things here, and maybe they stir things up for you that are difficult. Please don't walk out of those doors without having brought that before God. Please ask. Please let's at least start that conversation rather than shut it away. But although we do want to be careful, we don't want to be frightened. I am not ashamed of these verses or anything in them. God's word is good, and it's good for us. We would be poorer without these verses. And there is real, real richness here. For example, these verses have a lot to tell us about Christian worship in verses 15 to 17. We could, I promise you, spend several services thinking just about those verses. I'm not going to just yet, but we could. But if you want just one practical thing to do from this morning, you could copy these verses, print them out, even write them out by hand, put them somewhere you'll see them, keep them in your wallet, stick them on your mirror, put them on your fridge, and read them before you come to church next time. And as you do, read, as you ask verse 15, ask yourself, am I going to church intending to be at peace with my fellow Christians? Is there someone at church I need to forgive? Is there someone at church I need to go to and ask them to forgive me? And then as you read verse 16, ask yourself, am I going to church ready to be challenged by the word of God as it's read and as it's preached to me? Am I going to church prepared to change my mind? Am I going to church prepared to change my way of living in response to what God says to me through the Bible this morning? And then as you carry on through verse 16, ask yourself, am I going to church ready to make use of whatever psalms and whatever hymns and whatever spiritual songs are offered to me to use for worship this morning? Even if they're not familiar to me, even if they aren't my taste, even if they aren't my sort of thing, am I ready to use what I'm given to sing to God with gratitude? See, it's easy for church to be about a lot of other things. It's about meeting my friends, singing my songs, the comfort of habit and tradition. And none of those things need be bad things. If we came here and we didn't like anybody, something would be wrong. But ultimately, that's not the prime reason we're here. We're here to do everything in word and deed in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him, giving thanks for his sacrifice on our behalf. I was very struck as we were reading Psalm 25, that bit where it says that you're gracious to those who keep the demands of your covenant. And I was so grateful that even though I failed to keep those demands, Christ has kept them for me. I can always be grateful for that. So whatever we do it in the name of Jesus. That's got to be true of our meeting together as a church. But as I've already said, Paul looks beyond that, beyond the 2 hours perhaps that we spend here on a Sunday, and out into the 166 hours a week that we don't spend here, unless you're on the PCC. Or one of the other rotors. Okay, I get it, but you know the point. That's what he's talking about the rest of the time. What happens when we're not in church? And I think Paul is very deliberate. God is inspiring Paul to be very deliberate in covering every aspect of life. Verse 18, he's talking to wives. Verse 19, he balances that by talking to husbands. Verse 20, he's talking to children. Verse 21, he's talking to fathers. And in verses 22 to 25, he talks to slaves. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, he talks to masters. You can see how he's balancing all the time. By the way, if you're here this morning as a single person, and you feel the talk of husbands and wives is sort of excluding you, just remember, in the Roman Empire, legally, slaves couldn't marry. So when he's talking to slaves, he's overwhelmingly talking to single people. We're all included here. Do you see the force of what he's saying? Every life, and every part of every life, is to be lived with Jesus Christ in view and with the desire to honour him. Whether we come to this as husbands or wives, as children or parents, as workers or bosses, whatever we do it for the Lord. That's the point of verse 23. And in context, that verse is first aimed at slaves. And I want us just to pause and think about that for a minute. This is a verse, he says, to slaves. Have you ever wondered and noticed what an extraordinary thing that is? Let's just remind ourselves about slaves in the Roman Empire. 5 to 10 million of them, somewhere between 10 and 20% of the population of the empire. Now, they had various jobs. Some slaves were very highly skilled. You've probably read The Words of a Slave, because it's quite likely that Dr. Luke, who wrote Luke's Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles, he may very well have been a slave. But others were personal servants, building labourers, agricultural workers, or they did the really dangerous and horrible work in mines. Roman slaves had no rights. They weren't allowed to own property. They were bought and sold as belongings. They couldn't own anything of their own. And as I've said already, they weren't allowed to marry. They are the absolute bottom of the heap. And their lives must have seemed dreary and relentless and as far away from the things of God as it was possible to get. And Paul says to them, do your work for the Lord. Do your work for the Lord. Do your mining. Do your harvesting. Do your serving at table. Do your massaging. Do your doctoring. Do it for the Lord. The translation that we have is, if anything, a little bit shy about it, where it says, put yourselves into it. Because the word there is really strong. Better put your very self, your heart and soul, into what you're doing. Not because the system of slavery is good, not because it's just or fair, not because your masters are nice, not because you can see the end in view, but because everything you do, you're doing for the Lord. It's an absolutely breathtaking thing for Paul to say. But he's calling us to see that our daily work, even when that seems like drudgery, it's an offering of worship and service and love to Jesus Christ. It's to be done with Jesus Christ in view and with the desire to honour him. It's true for the slave and for the wife and for the husband, the child and the parent, the worker and the boss. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. And if God can say that to them then he can say it to us now. I hardly dare say this, but he can say it to our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. I've been very struck this week of things that have been shared on social media about Christians in Ukraine. Images of them kneeling in the public square to pray. A family singing a worship song together in their own home. A group of Christians meeting in the subway of the metro to sing in public as their country faces the shadow of war, declaring the hope that they have to anyone who goes past. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. I can say it to these people in Paul's time. You can say it to our brothers and sisters who are really facing awful fear. And you can say it to us. This is a message for us. It's a message for the delivery driver, up and down the same roads every week, stuck in the same traffic. It's a message for the full-time carer, dealing with the same heartaches and indignities of body and mind, day in, day out. Put your heart and soul into it, because you're doing it for the Lord. Do it with Jesus Christ in view and with the desire to honour him. It's a message to the mum or dad run ragged by the constant demands of their children. We smile internally at that, but it's hard. All these things are hard. It's a message to the mum or dad who is brokenhearted by the choices that their children have made if they've grown up and grown away from them. It's a message to the son or daughter struggling to look after aging or unwell parents. Put your very self into your work, because you're doing it for the Lord. Do it with Jesus Christ in view and with the desire to honour him. Because he notices. He notices, and it matters to him, and it is precious to him when you do this. That's our call as we go out into the week ahead. Honour Jesus in the things that you do. Honour him by doing them as well as you can, as honestly and lovingly as you can, and by being ready and unashamed to speak up for him when you can. Be ready to admit that you're a Christian. Be ready to say something of why. Honour him by stepping out of your comfort zone, perhaps inviting someone to join you, to find out about Jesus for themselves. Whatever you do, do it with Jesus Christ in view and with the desire to honour him. Because actually, in every single one of these pictures, quite possibly, something is being done in the name of the Lord. Take your pencil with you and remember as you use it this week, there's a point. There's a point to what you do. You're there because, are you ready for another pencil related pun? You've been led. I know, you can hate me, but you will remember it. You are where you are, doing what you're doing because you've been led there, and there is a point. And God's call to you is, do it, whatever you do, with Jesus Christ in view and with the desire to honour him. Whether you're doing paid work or unpaid work, your homework or your housework, tedious work, unseen work, unrewarding work, or your needlework, I don't care. Whatever you're doing, do it with Jesus Christ in view and with the desire to honour him. Why don't we have just a moment of quiet and think ahead to where you're going to be this week. What is it that God, you already know, is calling you to do this week? The ordinary stuff, the cooking, the cleaning, the going to work, the fetching the grandchildren. What is it that he's calling you to do this week? And in a moment I'm going to pray for us. Lord God, we thank you so much that our work matters to you. The things we do matter to you. And we thank you so much for the privilege that we have of being witnesses to you in all the things that we do this week. Lord God, I want to ask for each of us here that you will help us this week to do things with you in view and desiring to honour you. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us opportunities to open our mouths and speak about Jesus. Give us the courage to do that. And may we know the joy this week of offering up all our ordinary things as worship to you, knowing that you are pleased when we do that, and that we bring honour and glory to you. Please do that in and through us this week, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.